Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Now, my friend, Mud Toe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Joining you for a half an hour, just to talk over some stuff, I guess. I am a shaman, they tell me. My calling is a healer of society. As a healer of society, what I do is I write and I talk. My writing machine has been broken for a little while, so it's mostly been about talking. And I've really been trying to get away from whining about my personal life, which seems to be what I did the most of for quite a while there. And I'm doing well for the past several weeks, I think, let's say 3 or 4 weeks. I've been able to introduce some more weighty topics, both from my personal life and from the world at large. So let's see if we can keep that trend going this evening. I do have to start with something, a little bit of a sad note. I'm going to be getting a divorce from my therapist, I think. And you know, the sad part is we've worked pretty well together over the short time we've been working together. She came to me from the county, I don't know what you call it, county mental health board. It has a different name, has a fancy name now. But they provide mental health services to people who can't afford them, like me. And, of course, the problem with anything like that is they get a lot of heavy use. And I happen to be not terribly crazy, really. I'm mostly, in most ways, I'm sane, or at least able to maintain the appearance, the relative appearance of sanity. I'm what they in the profession call a high functioning, which means, and I'll say with, I don't think I can be accused of pride when I say this, I think I'm the highest functioning person that they deal with, which, at least anyway, it makes things difficult for them because they really don't have too many ways to help me. So they're talking about specifically trying to get me back into an apartment and back into a job and so forth and so on, because I'm just too high functioning. You know, if I would sit in the corner and refuse to participate, there might be something that could actually do for me, you know, but you'll find me a nice sheltered workshop or something. But you know, as it is, you know, I pretty much wake up in the morning and make my way through my day and go to bed at night without too many upsets. Not too many upsets that anyone might notice anyway. So it's just kind of me. I found the same thing to be true when you're dealing with the Job and Family Services and Ohio Works First and so forth and so on. They're really dealing with people who are much less able to help themselves, and so there isn't a lot for me there. So anyway, try not to drop into the poor me thing. That's just that I was getting therapy services. This person was my caseworker and also was doing therapy with me, which was interesting because it seemed like we were all the time filling out forms and applying for things. It seemed like we did a lot more of that than we did of therapy. But the last therapy session we had, which was 2.5 weeks ago, went pretty well. I thought I felt pretty good. I thought that I had done some good work once we were done with it. And now I have not been able to get her on the phone. I'm going to be back in Columbus next week, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And I have set aside a day to make sure I got out there and was able to both do my therapy session and complete any paperwork that I needed to complete. And I've been calling since after Labor Day, so a week and a half. And no answer. There's no callback. And you know, I called again today. I get the voicemail. Legal voicemail. And this time my voicemail was, look, I need to make some moves here. I am still free for Wednesday. If you could call me, you know, by Monday a.m., you know, I'll go ahead and make sure that I can get to see you. But, you know, if I don't hear from you by Monday a.m., I'm just going to have to presume that we're not working together anymore. So we'll see what happens. I didn't hear back from her today. We'll see what happens on Monday. I'm just not good at these things. You know, this is one of those things that other people seem to be able to navigate, and I can't. I don't understand why someone wouldn't return my phone calls for 2 weeks. I try and figure it out. You know, I try and think of reasons why she might not be answering my phone calls. And nothing makes, you know, I think that's my problem. I can think things through to a logical conclusion, and I prove myself wrong on many, many occasions in my head, and it's very irritating. Anyway, I see now what did I do at the top? See, I did kind of a Roger Goodell there. I told you I was going to do one thing, and then I went in completely the opposite direction. I actually basically did what I promised I wasn't going to do, which is to tell you a sad, sad story about my life. But I did. You know, it's not a sad, sad story. I'll get in as a therapist. But the problem being, of course, therapists usually expect to be paid, and I don't have any money to pay them, so I have to find somebody from an outfit like, you know, North Central, the people I was working with, who might hook me up with somebody who'll take my Medicaid, perhaps, and hopefully work on getting decrazied. I enjoy therapy. I enjoy being decrazied. When you're doing it with the right person, it's really kind of a fun thing. So anyway. Let's move on to something not quite so dreary. I had the therapist story and I had the mother story. And okay, I'm not going to tell both. There's no way I'm going to tell both. And the mother story just is just a bit too heavy, I guess. I don't know. It's not heavy. Actually, on a absolute scale, it's not heavy at all. On a scale of things that I want to do in the show, it's pretty heavy. It's heavier than what I wanted to do. The therapist story is the correct degree of heaviness for this show. The mother story would just be personal, and it's going to be me. Just it's going to sound like me whining about my mother because that's what it is. So we're going to leave that out of this show. We're just going to leave it out of the show, and I'm going to resist all temptations to lapse into that form of storytelling this week. And I'm going to ask you, the audience, to hold me accountable for that. Instead, I'm going to go in a different direction. I have here, this is something from Chief Iggy, Loop Watcher, who's going to be my host, as he was last time he was in Columbus. He's again going to be my host. He is the one friend I have in Franklin County who has not kicked me out of his house yet. I'm going to be working for most of the week in Columbus. I won't say day job, but someone is. I do day work, day labor at the old university where I used to have a full-time job. Rather than hire me full-time, they just call me back now to work. Single days or sometimes 2 or 3 days in a row, which is the case that's coming up. So they don't have to pay me, you know, benefits and that sort of thing. But anyway, I'm doing that, and he's going to permit me to stay with him and have work next week, and I have work the following week. And in between those, sandwiched in between those on the weekend, is the Nemanja Great Council out of Missouri. So I'm going to ride out there with him for that. And I've actually laid in some supplies and food to put in the car. And, of course, share. You know, I wouldn't hoard it all to myself, especially since Chief Iggy has been so kind to me so far during this rather difficult time over the past few months. So I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to a great council. I have no idea what to expect. except I do expect there will be at least one sweat lodge, which is just a bit problematic for me. I've sort of fallen out of love with the sweat lodge. But, and this, I don't, geez, I hope Piggy isn't listening right now. I don't want him to take this the wrong way. I would be excited about going into a sweat lodge if, you know, sort of our big boss, Cloud Piler, was doing it. I've been in one sweat lodge that Cloud Piler did before, and it was very energetic and very inspiring. Not to say that Iggy's aren't, but I'm very familiar with Iggy. I know him very well, and it's hard to work up inspiration with someone you know pretty well, at least for me. Cloud Piler's not the big boss anymore, by the way. I guess his son is. I know his son is. I don't guess. I know his son is. He's the spiritual leader of the Nemenhai. He was originally the big boss, and now he's passed things on along that job along to his son, and now he is the spiritual leader, which I think makes him happier and probably suits him better. I think he was ready to let somebody just take over this this administrative role so I can concentrate on the stuff that interests me. And I haven't seen, I met Cloud Piler once, came up. I don't know if it was a specific occasion. I think he just came up to visit the Condor Eagle, what used to be called the Condor Eagle Chapter House. I think it has a different name now. It's still Condor Eagle, but they changed the name Chapter House to something else. Because we keep running into these things about the government has definitions of, it's all about the Treaty for the Protection of Indigenous Peoples, and we found out we couldn't use the word tribe, we couldn't use the word band. There are a number of words that just under the federal regulations, they apply to something very specific, and we didn't qualify, so we had to start using a different word. And I think that's what happened to Chapter House. So I think it's the Condor Eagle something or other that indicates it's the local group of the Nemenhai here in central Ohio. So I believe he came up, I believe that Cloud Piler just came up to visit, if I'm remembering correctly. This has been probably 4 or 5 years ago. Only time I've met the man, he's a very inspiring man, and I enjoyed talking to him very much. And I'm, again, looking forward to meeting him once more and having him set me straight on all the things that are dragging me down. isn't that what you usually do when you go to on a pilgrimage to somebody? You expect this person sitting up on high to fix your life for you. And you know that very seldom happens. It almost never happens, actually. You almost never get your life fixed by your gurus. That's not to say that I won't try. So anyway, that's all happening, and that's all prelude to this thing, and I got it here on Facebook. Let me look at it so I don't say it wrong. This is a Facebook group page. It's called Universal Love and Prayer Circle, and it's administered by Chief Piggy Hoop Watcher, and it caught my eye because, again, those of you who listen to the show a lot know I've been talking here recently a lot about prayer. And, here's a whole Facebook discussion page on prayer, and there's a lot of good people who've signed up and who've made posts, and I would encourage you, if you have access to Facebook, to have a look at it. And if you don't know me, you don't know some of the other Nemenhai people, and some of the drum circle people, and other people who sort of move in and out of the various circles here, that'd be worth your while to take a look at it and just see what people have to say. I also noticed when I got on the page, I went in and said, this is a good page, and I'm talking a lot about prayer on the radio show, and I should become, if I'm going to, you know, ask people on the radio show to look at this page, I should probably join it, right? So I looked up, and I found out that I had already joined. I do not remember when I joined. I don't remember why I joined. And I'm most terribly embarrassed that I forgot all about it, and then had to be reminded later. But I said, well, take a look at what's going on in the prayer circle. Somebody said something similar to what you said in the prayer circle. So I think what I might do is, you know, on the show I talk about, I don't know how it's going to work because usually I don't decide what I want to talk about on the show until the very last minute. But on the show, I've been each week trying to highlight something I've been praying for or about. And it might be entertaining to put that information on the... I'm sorry, I've started talking slowly. Someone has sent me a message on Facebook. I'm trying to read it at the same time as I talk to you. Okay. Good. I have a nice little message there from someone who's listening to the show. Thank you, JR. Let's see. Should I remember what I saw? Oh, then I might put, you know, what my prayer concern, that's kind of Christian Protestant thing. What are my prayer concerns? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't want to be that specific. You know, what I'm thinking about prayer-wise is, I guess I'm getting at that I might just go ahead and put it on the page, share it on the page, and then share it on the radio show, and you'll link it up that way. And perhaps we can. There's another one. JR writes me, he says, sorry, I didn't mean to distract you. You did again, but that's okay. I haven't talked to JR for a while. How you been? JR is my cousin who lives not too far from here, and we don't see each other nearly enough. We grew up together, went to high school together about 1 year apart, exactly 1 year apart, actually. And since I'm in my small town where I grew up much more often than I was, I would hope we will have further opportunities to see each other when we haven't been seeing each other quite so much. So we'll look forward to that, and you, my listening audience, can hold me accountable. We can say, "Have you? Did you actually call JR and see him?" And I will say, "Yes," because I always do everything I say I'm going to do. Or you can, in one way or another. Okay. So, prayer, Universal Love and Prayer Circle is the name of the Facebook page. So check it out. See what's going on there, and I will get a Mud to a Sasquatch, a little bit of a, no, I can do it from my Mud to a Sasquatch page, I think. Pretty sure, well, see, I'm not, I'm a member of the page under my actual name, not under my legal name. There's nothing more actual about it than my spiritual name, which is Mud to a Sasquatch. The thing is, I wouldn't have to work something out with Iggy so that I can post under the name Mud to a Sasquatch. The only reason it makes a difference is that, you know, people listening to the show who don't know what my legal name is wouldn't know that it was me that was posting. Unless I said, oh, I'm Mato Sasquatch in each of them, which gets a little bit, would that get irritating? I really don't know. I don't have that, experience. But anyway, what am I talking about? I had, as I'm perusing my Facebook posts here, I had an interesting experience because someone, when I was on my way out of town, you know, when I lost my apartment and had to get the hell out of Dodge, a good friend sent me a Facebook post, one of the private message, inbox, and offered me a ticket to the Ohio State Fair. It's just someone, without going through the whole thing, he come across it that she was going to go to waste. And I would have loved a ticket to the Ohio State Fair, except, you know, I was in the midst of escaping, getting as much stuff in my car as I could and getting out of town before the villagers with the pitchforks and flambons arrived. But part of that, too, would have been, I asked... This is what tweaked me. First of all, I looked at the post, and I noticed, you know, it was like close to a month old when I first noticed it. I was like, this guy was kind enough to offer me that ticket, and I didn't call him back. I didn't contact him in any way. And I think I had a fairly good excuse, but still, not to be able to catch up with for a month, so I did write him back. I told him I was sorry I had not gotten back to him, but it was a very kind thing that he offered me the ticket, and he wrote back and he said it was okay. He figured, you know, that there was busyness going on and all that, so. But then the whole idea of a ticket, there are two things, there are two triggers in the idea of a ticket. The first one was, and I apologize for doing this triggers thing, but I don't have a therapist right now, so I'm going to have to use you guys. The first thing, tickets, I was going to take, you know, this lady that I was seeing some months ago. I haven't talked about her for a while, so I'm going to jump in because I think it's appropriate. One of the last times I saw her, I asked her if I'd invited her to the state fair. You know, let's go to the state fair because she was talking about it, and I enjoy the state fair. And she, yeah, I would love to go to the state fair. You know, then nothing came of it because she decided to leave town. I'm not going to go through that whole story again. So then, you know, so when my friend Eric, you know, talked to me about the ticket, then I started getting, you know, sort of melancholy about that. It made me think of this other person in the state fair. It's interesting sometimes how these things sort of operate and change. You wouldn't think my friend who runs the energy centers into transformative and new age and all that would remind me in any way of this woman who I shouldn't have been going out with and then who ran on me, and I should be glad she ran on me, but for many reasons I'm not. Okay, so there's that. And then going back 8 or 9 years, there was another woman I was seeing who I shouldn't have been seeing. There are a large number of women like that in my past, but I just had no business knowing that they were going to. Bad things were going to happen. They were going to break my heart. They were going to get me involved in things that I didn't want to be involved in, whatever. But anyway, I had invited her to see, I had to beg the tickets because it was one of my broke, not working periods. And I had just mentioned in it was in an AA meeting, I had mentioned that I was feeling down because I wanted to take, I knew, I had a friend who I knew wanted to go see the Nutcracker and didn't have the means, and I wanted to take her, and I couldn't. And this person at the AA meeting gave me 2 tickets to the Nutcracker. So again, you know, a gift of tickets. And she ran out on me like 20 minutes before we were supposed to leave. And I went to the Nutcracker by myself because I wasn't going to waste both tickets. And I wanted in rage, you know, in total rage. I was hoping that the ground was going to open up and swallow up everybody in the world. I mean, that was the space I was in at that time. And I was definitely going somewhere with this, and now I'm having a big trouble trying to remember. This segue, this dovetailed into a prayer thing, and I've lost how, except, you know, to say that it's I guess to read, perhaps I can pray to redirect the power of the rage that I felt in the second case, and the general sort of malaise isn't the right name. You know, the unpleasant, the negative emotion that I felt in both of those cases was tied to the fact that the tickets were a gift. And not only did this bad thing happen, but I had taken the tickets from someone else. I had accepted them from someone else. And someone else could have enjoyed those, except that I took them, and now this terrible thing has happened. So everything gets amplified by the fact that these tickets were given to me as a gift. So I need to think about reversing is a dangerous word, transforming the energy that comes from a gift. Because the energy that comes from a gift should be positive, I think. I like gifts. And it's easy, I guess, just in my head, for that energy to be turned around if I feel, when I feel violated or betrayed in some way. That the energy, that energy that's flowing through me because of the gift, you know, the joy of having received the gift, the joy of being able to do this for someone else. And that script gets flipped, to use an overused praise. And suddenly everything is bad. Everything is negative. I want to trash everybody in the world. You know, I went through a period like that when I realized this relationship with my therapist was probably coming to an end. Any of you who know me on my Facebook page, it's under my legal name. I had an evening not too long ago when I was talking about how much I wanted to go back to drinking, go back to the liquor, and talking in glowing terms about how the liquor had never betrayed me, which, of course, it did. Well, it didn't really, because it can't. It's not sentient. It's not a human, but it can't do things like be loyal either. It's an anesthetic and a temporary one at that. That's one of the more important things to learn when, for me anyway, it was one of the most important things for me to learn. That energy is the things that I have gotten from that relationship that I consider to be gifts. Certainly I haven't paid for them. You know, I didn't, Medicaid is paying for them, but I'm not. So I consider it a gift to me, either from the therapist or from Medicaid, depending on how you look at it. And then when that starts to go bad, that energy that you've received, that positive energy, starts to flip the other way. So that's something that can be prayed about, I think. The idea to change and to transform the energy of an experience that you can feel going astray. Transform that into something that's useful. So let me use another even more cockeyed example. What's going on with the Ray Rice, the football player, who slugged his girlfriend, and that makes me angry. And that anger begins to intrude on other things in my life, and I'm upset with other people because I'm angry at what Ray Rice did. There's a need to transform that energy. And one way to do that is to think of what are the positive outcomes that I would wish for Ray Rice and his wife, whose name I have not yet memorized. And if necessary, to think about myself in that position. I don't really want to think of myself in that position, just because I don't want to think about myself beating people up. But also, it begins. There's a selfishness, I think, that can be involved in directing positive energy towards yourself. So, in thinking in terms of keeping in terms of Mr. Rice and Mrs. Rice, and they profess to this is something that they want to correct. Certainly Mr. Rice has something to correct. I'm not so sure she does, but you know, maybe she does, or she may feel she does. What I wish to them, I would wish wisdom. I would wish fair temperament, I guess. I would wish people want to say hegemony, but that's not right. That's like really different. And I'm running out of time too. I'm under 60 seconds. I'm freezing on big top here. I would wish them the things that I would want to be experiencing that situation if I truly wanted to recover, if I truly wanted to make my relationship better and go forward. And that I think is a good pathway towards flipping, you know, the energy start positive and then flip back negative. I want to flip it back positive. I want to send positive things, the things that I would want to come to me in that situation, I would send to them in my prayer. That's it. Done for another week. I'm not sure about what next week, because I'm going to be traveling to Missouri to Great Council, but I'm sure we'll work something out. Again, love you, and talk to you next week. Bye.